One of the things that I really love about this series on the life of David and his contemporaries is how we can relate to what's going on with them. Some of it's good and some of it is not so good. We hear about a guy named Saul who's very insecure and he has a lot of ups and he has a lot of downs. He really struggles. Maybe we can relate to that a little bit. We're definitely inspired by the friendship of a guy named Jonathan. Man, isn't it great to be a friend like that? Not just have a friend like that. Then we look down the list and we see a great spiritual mentor like Samuel. Somebody we can learn from. Maybe we can be somebody like that in another person's life. Today we see a very godly lady named Abigail. She steps into this picture, and through her, we see how we can become a bridge builder. You know, as we go through life, sometimes we struggle with relationships, don't we? Or other people do. And it's not just our brokenness, but it's the brokenness of others that we see. And before we look at the qualities of what a great bridge builder is like, we'll look at Abigail's actions and her deeds. But before we do that, let's try to summarize what's been going on in the life of David. Lee shared the scripture with us, but before that, we need to understand what's been going on. David spares Saul when he has a chance to kill him. And most people would not have blamed him for doing that because Saul has been trying to take David's life. After this incident, David meets with Saul face to face, and Saul has one of his good moments. Saul is confessional. He grieves over what's happening. He shows remorse on how he has treated David. And right after this moment, David and his men move out into this desert territory, kind of away from where most people were living. And out in this area, there is a man named Nabal, and he's very wealthy. In the scriptures, we see that he has 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he has a lot of people taking care of them. He is the man who is married to Abigail. And by the way, gentlemen, in the scripture, she is described as being both intelligent and beautiful. Just like your wife, right, men? Important to nod your head yes at this moment. Nabal, however, is described as being very mean and obnoxious. Just like your husband, ladies? I hope not. Either way, that's why we all need to go to the marriage enrichment seminar this coming weekend, right? It's a great time to grow together. And the parent summit. Think about these events from another perspective. You know what we tend to do? We tend to say, yeah, I'll go to that because I can get something out of it. There's something I can learn. This is how I can grow. Would you consider the possibility of going to some events not just for what you could get out of it, but maybe to become equipped to train others and to encourage others? You know, it might even be that it would be good for people who are not married, maybe even widows or widowers, to go to a marriage enrichment seminar so that they could be educated and trained to take care of their children or their grandchildren or even some other people they know that may be having marriage difficulties. We need to be bridge builders, don't we? And remember, our vision here is not just to make disciples, but to make disciples who will disciple others. That is our goal. So keep that in mind as you look at some of these events that are so well planned and are going to be such good quality. David allows some of his men to serve as the protectors of Nabal's herds. Now, that's not uncommon in that day. So what David's men did is they would protect both the animals as well as the shepherds against any harm or danger that would come their way. It makes sense for David to have a soft spot in his heart for shepherds, doesn't it? He can really relate to that world. And so he releases some of his men to take care of these people as well as their herds. And we read in verse 7 of chapter 25 in our text that it's sheep shearing time. That means it's time to cut off the wool of the animals. Now, what was done, either that wool would be taken and used, or sometimes it would be sold. But the culture of that day had this unwritten rule. If someone helps you protect your flocks, and remember, David's men are doing that, then when it's appropriate, you give them some material blessings because of their work. It might be some of the wool, it could be food, it could be other things. It's almost like a tip. And that was standard. It was not written down, but it was an unwritten rule. David sends 10 of his men to Nabal to gently and appropriately ask for that tip, probably to provide some food for the people who are taking care of the herds as well as the shepherds. And David is very confident that Nabal is going to respond positively. Why? Nabal's wealthy. He's off the charts rich. It wouldn't be a big deal for him to be able to just tip these men a little bit. Nabal does respond, but his response is insulting, and it is very hateful. Now, everybody in that region knows David. He's done so much. He's defeated Goliath. He's been a great leader. Everybody's aware of him. He's very popular in the area. And as David's men arrive, they bring Nabal greetings of peace. They bring blessings to him. It's a very positive introduction. But when Nabal hears the request for the tip, he basically says, "Who is this dude David that you're talking about? Who is this guy? Is he just like all the other renegades who break away from their masters?" Nabal humiliates David and basically calls him a runaway slave. It's not true, and it's not kind. Now, this would have been a great time for David to consider the source and say, okay, I've heard about this guy. He's kind of a rascal. Let me just ignore it and not pay any attention to his ridiculous comments. But here's what's happening for David. He's just had a tremendous time of victory following a very stressful period of battle. During that time, he really looked to God. He did the right thing, but now he's relaxing. And here's a great lesson for us to learn when we go through difficult times. When we go through difficult times, we tend to call upon the name of the Lord more than usual. And then we usually get to experience his strength and his grace and his intervention into these tough times. And that's exactly what happened to David. But then when we're past those times, we can begin to depend upon our own strength again. We relax. We say, I can handle it. I've got the talents, the abilities. I've got whatever is needed. And then we are depending upon our own limited resources. And that is when we experience some of our greatest failures. Sometimes when we do that and we turn inward, the smallest obstacles can look like and become the largest mountains that we have ever faced in our lives. And that's what happens to David. He doesn't look to God. He doesn't ask him for his help. So let me ask you this. What do you do when someone you know is in self-destructive mode? Self-destructive and painful behavior. What's your tendency in times like those? Here's what we tend to do. We kind of back away. Don't worry, Kathy. I'm not going any further. And say, not my problem. That's their problem. I'm not going through that. That's the easier step to take, isn't it? God's inviting us to be bridge builders, to step into the pain of others, to walk with them through challenging times, to be used by his grace and his strength to build bridges that can lead to peace and reconciliation and help. Think about those in your lives that are going through some very difficult times right now. Maybe that relational bridge between them has been burned. Maybe even their relationship with Christ is not in existence, and they've not walked across the bridge of salvation. Is it tempting at that time to say, well, None of my business, you know. I've got a lot going on. Hey, what does God do? What does God do in these times? And whatever he does, we ought to as well. By nature, in the essence of his being, God is a reconciler. He is the ultimate and awesome bridge builder, bringing peace and healing and reconciliation. And if we are going to carry his tag, and if we're going to follow him, we need to do the same. We need to be those that accept his invitation to come into the bridge building situation. When a bridge builder sees that people are at odds with each other, that's not okay with them. Bridge builders ask God to use them to step into the situation, to be reconcilers and God's assistants in these times. A bridge builder doesn't walk away from the person who's held captive to some kind of self-destructive behavior. We don't turn our backs and walk away. We take a chance. And in Jesus' name and on his behalf, we're willing to step in and to make a difference. Would you be willing to do that? A bridge builder really cares about those who are without the Savior. You really care. Ask yourself that honest question today. Do you care? We've got a new couple in our church that moved here, and as they moved into their new community, they saw that this was God's opportunity to help them to reach their Jerusalem. They are intentionally touching base with every neighbor in their community. They've already got the list going, and they're having them over for dinner, and they're walking around the neighborhood, and they're communicating with them, and they're talking to them, and they're loving them. I tell you, that's so inspirational to me. Sometimes we can forget about that. We can get into our routines and we can lose God's heart for those who don't know him yet. I'm asking you to adopt that heart and to really love each other in the most important way, spiritually as well as in relationships. I'm asking you today to consider being a bridge builder. Would you do that? We have a great example to follow for building bridges between God and people, and between people and those that they're struggling with. And this person's name is Abigail. We've seen her example already. Allow me to set the stage for a very dramatic bridge building strategy. Are you ready to do some bridge building? Here's what it takes. Number one, effective bridge builders are initiators. You take the first step. You don't wait for others to do it. You do it. Look at verses 18 and 19 from 1 Samuel 25. Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep. Wonder what they were dressing. No, never mind. 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. You see, David is on his way to kill Nabal and anybody else that is in the vicinity. Abigail needs to act quickly. And that's what she does, doesn't she? Hey, if you ignore problems in relationships, if you ignore the challenges that other people are experiencing, those problems don't go away, do they? They feast on neglect and they grow bigger and stronger and they create larger problems if they are ignored. And the longer these relational challenges are ignored, the more they become ingrained in a life and the more challenging it becomes to deal with it. Hey, the longer a person walks away from Christ, the harder his or her heart becomes. And the more challenging it is to reach them with the gospel. The very first sentence in verse 18 says it all. Abigail lost no time. She didn't wait any longer. When it comes time for bridge building, we need to get right to it. And that's what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar And there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Jesus says, do it right away. Abigail shows us something very powerful. I want you to hear this. It's important. With God's help, it's possible to make a difference. You don't have to go by yourself. You can go in the power of the Spirit with His assistance. You don't have to be a victim in the circumstances that are going on, either that you're facing or that others are facing. Be proactive. But make sure when you go, that you go with the right spirit. And that leads us to the next point of how to be an effective bridge builder. Effective bridge builders are servers in heart and by nature. Servers. Look at verses 23 and 24. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say." This is such a courageous act on Abigail's part. As she goes to David, however, notice her heart. She bows. She receives the blame for what happened. She is not condemning or critical of David, even though David's doing the wrong thing at this moment. She asks permission to speak. She doesn't just barge in. She has a servant's heart. You see, many people who need bridge building in their lives, they're hurting. They've experienced pain. And as a result of that, they're defensive. And we need to make sure that we go with a gentle heart, not with arrogance, not with pride, not with self-righteousness. What will break through those defense barriers? Here's what I believe will help. A servant heart. A gentle spirit. Isn't that important for every relationship? Especially for marriage? I want you to know I'm not a big movie guy. In fact, I'm plumb ignorant about movies. People will ask me, have you seen this movie? Do you know that movie? And I'll say, no. Don't know anything about it. Haven't seen it. My kids will get on me in the holidays, and usually we will go see one movie together. So I'm kind of a once-a-year movie guy, basically. But there's one I think I'm going to try to see, and I want to promote it, even though I haven't seen it, because it is counterbalancing another movie that is coming out next weekend. Have you heard of this one? It's very popular. They had an advertisement during the Super Bowl. And don't say it out loud, but I'm trying to think of the title. 50 Shades of Garbage. That's it, isn't it? I've seen the promotions and the details of that movie, and I'm sad it's coming out. But there's another one coming out. And the intentional goal is to counter the message of that movie. And it's called Old Fashioned. And it's based on some biblical principles for relationships. Here's the trailer. See a little peek of it. And maybe this will be a better option for you. I'm not going to stand by and let Hollywood take over your world. I'm only one person, but I'm going to try to point you towards things that will build you up and will help you grow. And I haven't seen this movie again. There may be some elements of it that are, it said it's a PG-13, so they may not be good for kids. But I kind of like that foundation. Love is patient. Love is kind. Pretty good foundation for that, isn't it? That's the key to all of our relationships, folks. I want to be a bridge builder for all of you. Serve each other, would you? Look out for the needs of that other special person in your life, even before your needs are met. And that's what Abigail did. And she became a great bridge builder. Look at Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. When there needs to be some bridge building, step up, would you? And gentle does not mean that you're going to ignore the facts and that you're going to just push the truth to the side. And that leads to the next great quality of a bridge builder. He or she is transparent, honest, open, truthful. Look at 1 Samuel 25:25. Please pay no attention, my Lord, to that wicked man, Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my Lord sent. Abigail does not ignore the facts, the truth of the situation here. She doesn't defend Nabal. He's done a despicable thing. You see, you can't help somebody if they don't see the truth and accept the facts. Here's one of the things I wonder about what's going on with David at this time. He's lost it, hadn't he? He has lost his temper. He's going to kill a bunch of people. Why is he so angry? We don't know for sure. We don't know why he is struggling with anger. Someone has said, you can tell the size of a man by what makes him angry. Just a little thought for the road. David is either angry because he has been publicly humiliated and he's frustrated with that, or maybe he's angry because his men that have been taking care of the shepherds and the sheep are hungry and he's just trying to step up for them to get them something to eat. But regardless of what's happened, Abigail shares the facts. But notice, she takes the responsibility on herself. She takes part of that responsibility. Earlier in verse 24 of our text, Abigail asks for forgiveness and for pardon for herself. And then in verse 28, she says, please forgive your servant's presumption. She's speaking again about herself. She's being teachable. Encourage forgiveness, my friends, by setting the stage. How? By asking for forgiveness. By, again, being transparent and open. Because Abigail has asked for forgiveness for herself, she is opening the door for that atmosphere or spirit of forgiveness for David. She is setting the standard. And you and I can do the same by being teachable when you forgive. And when you ask for forgiveness, you're actually setting the stage for someone else to follow in those forgiveness footsteps. By the way, it says here that Nabal's a fool. What's the definition of a fool? If Nabal is the prototype, which it appears he is, here's what a fool looks like. One whose philosophy of life is eat, drink, and be merry. It's all about the stuff of life. They tend to leave off the last part of that sentence. Remember it? For tomorrow you may what? Die. The second part of a definition of a fool is one who is selfish. For Nabal, it's all about him. That's how he's living. A third characteristic, one who is ungrateful for the blessings of life. Man, are we blessed? Wow. Are you thankful? Nabal has been blessed by so much around him. It's incredible, the package, but it appears that he's oblivious to the fact. David's men have protected him, his shepherds, his flocks, 24 hours a day around the clock. And boy, has he married up. He has married Abigail and doesn't seem to recognize that special gift. Sometimes we tend not to look at the blessings that we experience. And I want to invite you to do that regularly. If we don't, we're living foolishly, just like Nabal, a bridge builder, an initiator, a servant, transparent. How about number four? Let's be generous. A bridge builder by nature is a generous individual. Look at verse 27. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the men who follow you. And do you remember the list of all the food she brought to David? I think she knows the secret. She knows how to help an angry man. Feed him, right? So ladies, if he's struggling, give him some good food. He'll be better. She offers all these food categories without being assured of one thing. She doesn't know what David's going to do. She doesn't know if David's still going to attack. She doesn't know what he's going to follow up with. When you're a bridge builder, you do not know what people are going to say or do. I'm just going to tell you ahead of time. They may receive it well. They may not. Be prepared for either, but don't let it stop you from doing the right thing. Be generous as you live. Anyway, what might you give to those who need reconciliation with somebody else? Or as someone who needs intervention because of a self-destructive habit? Or maybe with somebody who doesn't know Christ yet. What do they need? Here's what they need from us. They need our time. We need to be generous by giving that. We need to be serving them, using our talents and gifts in some way. We need to give of our money. We need to be generous givers financially. I had a great conversation. In fact, it was spontaneous. It was with one of our dads here at Summit. And frankly, all I did was nod my head and say yes and say that was great because the story was awesome. He mentioned a conversation that he had with his son, and his son is in his 20s. The father was encouraging his son to be a tither, to give financially of his resources to the Lord. And this effort really showed me something about the relationship between this father and his son. It means his father really loved his son and was wanting to disciple him and mentor him. And he loved him so much that he wanted to encourage him to be generous because he knows what a blessing it is when we're generous to others, isn't it? When we give of these resources God gives us, we get to experience these indescribable blessings from God. And if you've ever done that, you know what I'm talking about. And Abigail knows this world because she's being generous. And there's one more bridge builder quality that I think is very, very strong. Effective bridge builders are visionaries. They see the picture. They see what's on the horizon, and they encourage others to see what can happen when those bridges are built appropriately. Look at verses 28 and following from our story. These are the words of Abigail. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord. She's speaking to David. Because you fight the Lord's battles. And no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burdens of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. Do you see how she paints a picture for what could happen? She is painting a picture of David's life if he's obedient to God. She's saying, don't forget God's plan. Do his will, David. He has so many good things in store for you. He's promised you a wonderful future. Don't blow it, David. Casting a vision. She basically said, if you go ahead and kill Nabal and his men, you're going to have his blood on your head. And you do not want to live that way the rest of your life. You don't want to live a life of regret, right, David? We need to do the same for those for whom we're trying to build bridges. We need to paint a picture of what could happen if they get things right, first with God and then with others. Their future can be so much brighter. Do you realize that if Abigail had not tried to build a relational bridge with David, that she would not have had to put up with Nabal anymore? David would have killed him. She didn't pick him as her husband. Her father did. He was probably more concerned about his bank account, that's Nabal, than about his moral fiber, than doing the right thing. I'm sure it crossed her mind that if she did nothing, that she'd be without him. But she knows that she needs to do the right thing, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. When it comes to building bridges, we need to really try to understand the world of the person with whom we share. And that takes time. Notice what Abigail says at the end of verse 29. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. Hey, does David know something about slings? She's speaking his language. Abigail's talking his language in a very relevant way. And David's response is so strong. Hey, how will we respond when bridge builders love us enough to come our way? I love the response of David. He does the right thing. How does he start? He starts by being grateful. And when somebody comes our way to help us, we need to be grateful as well. Look at verse 32. David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me." Be thankful that someone like Abigail loves you enough and cares about God's vision for your life enough to come your way to intervene. And then take it to the next level by being encouraging to them. When they come to us, let's be encouraging to them. That's what David does to Abigail. In verse 33, "May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands." David basically says, "Abigail, thanks for helping me not act like an idiot." Because that's where he's heading. When a bridge builder reaches out your way, encourage him or her. And then third, be teachable. Because God may be sending you a message through those bridge builders. Look at verse 35. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request." David is living in the midst of a very patriarchal society where they didn't often listen to women about anything. He's in the midst of some intense anger, and he's willing to listen to a woman he has never seen before in his life and about whom he knows nothing. He's teachable. How about you? Are you teachable? Are you too experienced, too good, too knowledgeable to learn from even person X that may come your way? And boy, do we have a great model for bridge building, don't we? I just couldn't help but think about our Savior. How about that bridge builder? He is the ultimate one. Look at what we read in 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." My friends, Jesus gave himself as the bridge so that we could know God and be with him forever. So look again with me. What are effective bridge builders like? And what do they do? Here it is. What's God saying to you about taking the initiative, not waiting any longer, about having a servant spirit as you go in his name, about being honest and transparent, not avoiding the obvious, dealing with it, being generous as you go with your time, with your talents, with your treasure, and then being willing to be God's visionary for that person's life? You ready to be a bridge builder? That's who the church is in her essence. Let's be that for God. Father, I am amazed at the bridge that came to us. Our Savior, Jesus. Thank you so much for not just talking to us about doing it, but for doing it for us. And then inviting us to join you in being bridge builders to others. So show us what that means individually, God, here today. Would you, as we make ourselves available, show us how to be bridge builders for your glory. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen. I'd love to invite you in this time as we think about responding to God's invitation to us and for us to think about your marriages and relationships, your family, your kids and your grandkids, relatives, friends. Think about maybe how that needs to be healed or be made stronger. God will do that if we'll be transparent with Him. He was to us, and He is as well today. I'd love to invite you to pray, would you, that tonight in our parent summit that we'll grow as parents, be stronger in that part of our lives. The next weekend, I'm excited about the fellowship time. I just think it's going to be so awesome to share a meal together, Bald for Him singing. That's going to be such a treat. To hear some good teaching and to grow and then to be equipped to help others grow in their marriages. I'm excited about the new Bible study Wednesday night. If you missed that, Lee mentioned it. A lot of you have been asking about end times. We've got a guy leading it who has a great heart for the end times. I'm going to ask him for the notes because I'm serving in Awana and I can't be there, but I want to read about it. So I'm hoping he's putting it down. I'm going to ask him for the notes. Be praying for Mike as he does that. And would you be thinking about how you can be a bridge builder to your neighbors and reach out and invite them to the Savior? There's a lot of people who still need to hear about Him, right? Why don't you stand with us as we prepare for our response time today? If God's leading you to make any decision public today, to become a part of our body, maybe just to pray some at the front or where you are, standing or seated, wherever. If we can pray for you, we're here to help you as well. Let's be bridge builders, okay? Come as God leads you.